tonight at 7, the UW-Madison is hosting a forum that aims to put the Ebola virus in context.
The panel discussion takes place in the Memorial Union and includes guests who'll frame the epidemic in terms of media response, epidemiology, and the relationship between West Africa and Western industrialized nations.
We have two of the panelists from Ebola in Context with us today. Alhaji Njai is a research fellow in the UW-Madison Department of Pathobiological Sciences. He's also the founder of Project 1808, a nonprofit organization dedicated to building capacity for sustainable livelihood in Sierra Leone. Alhaji, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Tony Goldberg, also with the Department of Pathobiological Sciences and Director for Research at UW-Madison's Global Health Research Institute. Tony, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, Tony, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about the forum, please. What kind of questions are you and your colleagues tackling?
Well, the forum is meant to be about Ebola in its social context. So I'd like to borrow a phrase from another of our panelists, Greg Mittman, who said very astutely, I think, disease is never just biology. So we're seeing a disease crisis right now, and the goal of this forum is to emphasize the fact that that crisis is a result not only of a virus and of human health outcomes, but rather the context in which they come together.
And Alhaji, let's talk about the global response here. Do you think that the world is responding to this just as a virus, or are we paying attention to the cultural and political nuances in West Africa in particular?
I think there is a global response with regards to the virus, but also I think the difficulty is understanding that the nuances, the cultural and social aspects behind the virus. I think that's much more of a more sustained approach to it rather than just a more reactionary thing that is happening with the virus right now.
In a piece you wrote recently, you talk about being from Sierra Leone and, mm-hmm. and coming across as a child, seeing a man with a kind of hemorrhagic fever. Maybe it was Ebola, maybe it wasn't. What questions does this disease in your home country raise for you today?
Well, it does raise a lot of context about the balance between our systems, our modern systems in my country in particular and in other African countries, and that balance between that and some of the indigenous knowledge systems, the cultural systems that are there. And so, it's the Ebola virus itself, we don't, have a very good grasp of, okay, where is it coming from? It's typically it's been something that's associated with Congo, with Central Africa, but the ecology is very similar between the region, the epicenter regions, and the regions that are affected in Congo. So, the possibility it may have been around, it may be circulating, but what has precipitated this huge outbreak, that is the bigger question, and how, maybe traditionally people had dealt with it and how not. And so there is a lot of questions that needs to be answered with regards to the Ebola, but I think the bigger thing right now, it seems like trying to contain it. Mm-hmm. And then after containing it, most of these questions will have to be dealt with from an epidemiological perspective, really thorough understanding of the social, the cultural, the epidemiology of the virus, how it moves and all that stuff.
And I want to get in with you in a few moments to the economy and the society of West Africa. But Tony, let's bring things to the U.S. for a moment. The U.S. has been shifting in its response to the disease. We're seeing some states putting travel restrictions into place, quarantines, things like that, contrary to the advice of the CDC in some cases. How is this affecting the response to the disease here in the U.S.?
Well, I think how it affects our own response remains to be seen, but it has been intriguing to see how different people from different perspectives have responded to the Ebola crisis, from being very sort of holistic and inclusive to sort of very narrow and decisive. And I think those things could have real effects on the transmission of the virus internationally as well as in the United States. Some of these travel bans that we're seeing proposed, I think most public health experts would agree are not very good ideas. They would have the inadvertent effects of stigmatizing people who are from these countries and disincentivizing, if you will, people in these countries from seeking out proper health care and reporting things properly. Next week, there's an important meeting in New Orleans of the American Society for Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. And just this morning, I received an email from them, from the state of Louisiana, from Governor Jindal's office, as did everyone at the conference, advising people from Ebola-affected countries in West Africa not to come to the conference. That's interesting. And if you think about it, this conference and conferences like it are excellent opportunities for people on the ground to share ideas with experts in the field. This is the American Society for Tropical Medicine and Hygiene, and Ebola is a tropical disease. So I think the rule is that unless these policies are well thought out and informed by real information from the public health experts, we're likely to see unintended consequences.
Al-Haji, do you see that kind of travel restriction potentially affecting research into a disease like Ebola, or even, you know, doctors being willing to go from the U.S. and other places to West Africa?
Absolutely. I think to contain the virus at this point, you require, you know, health workers, you require doctors, you require expertise to go to that affected region. Ebola is one virus where I almost liken it to playing football or soccer, where you need a good offense, you need a good defense. But a good offense is probably what's more helpful, because you basically want to stop the virus before it comes to your end. And that's where West Africa is the epicenter right now. And that's where, you know, you have in Sierra Leone, for instance, one doctor in my community, we have two doctors for 265,000 people. So you have the doctor to, you know, patient ratio is very, very small. And, you know, accessibility is a difficult thing where roads are not motorable. You also have, you know, very difficult economically, with economic issues. So there needs to be a lot of help, you know, of people moving into that region and really trying to stop it. And we are in a very connected world globally. And so I think that is a very important area where it will be needed to have people traveling to that region.
We're talking to Al-Haji Njai and Tony Goldberg. They're both epidemiology researchers, and they're both panelists on a forum tonight, Ebola in Context, that's going on tonight at 7 at UW-Madison's Memorial Union.
And you can join our conversation. What concerns do you have about our current understanding of the Ebola virus, the social context surrounding it, and what it will take from the global community to contain it? Our number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We're talking with Tony Goldberg and Al-Haji Njai. They're both researchers in epidemiology, and they're both panelists on the forum Ebola in Context. That's taking place tonight at 7 at the UW-Madison Memorial Union.
And you can join our conversation. What would you like to know about our current understanding of the Ebola crisis and what it will take for the global community to get a handle on it? Our number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
And Al-Haji, in a piece you wrote this summer, actually, a few months back, you said that overall quality of life improvements in West Africa would help keep diseases like Ebola at bay. What kind of changes are you talking about? What kind of things would help?
Well, I think there has to be a very, very meaningful and really deliberate investment on building capacity in the region. And when I talk about building capacity, you really have to think about it from a very one health perspective, where you have to improve food security. Food security is one issue that is linked to people, you know, eating bats, eating wild animals, which are associated with being vectors for the virus. And there is also the aspect of public health systems. You need to kind of really think about, how do we develop the infrastructure of the public health systems in this country, in these countries that are affected? Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia have one of the worst public health infrastructures in the world. Sierra Leone is, you know, despite all the natural resources it has. It has, it's in 184 out of 189 countries in terms of Human Development Index of the United Nations. So there has to be a very concerted and a very deliberate attempt either from the international organizations or the African countries and government to invest on that, but also invest in their youth in terms of building stronger capacity in the areas of science, technology, and mathematics.
And you've tried to help make a connection between Wisconsin and Sierra Leone in particular with a project, Project 1808. Mm-hmm. What kind of things have you been doing?
So, you know, over the years, it's, you know, we've been working on trying to just this, to try to build capacity in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone recovered from a war 10 years ago. And interestingly, it's coming back through a full circle that, you know, the country is going through economic collapse after that war. And part of the things we've done is basically working with young students in Quenadugu in Sierra Leone, which is university students in elementary school, to help them develop their capacity. And we've worked with the Global Health Institute here in UW-Madison for the past 2 years to take students from Madison to Sierra Leone, as well as the O'Keefe Middle School in Madison, who we've brought in to kind of do exchange letters and exchange ideas with their colleagues in Sierra Leone, in a way to kind of use that global community, that global idea community of exchanging ideas, that ideas do not have boundaries and knowledge can be shared across different borders. And using that sort of willingness and talent that is here to then help to support their counterparts in Sierra Leone and help, you know, sustainable development.
And Tony, that story Alhaji was telling about the link between economic development and health, I kind of think of, you know, there's global groups and philanthropy groups that might be devoted to economic development over here and health over here. Are we making that linkage? Are we putting those two factors together enough in West Africa or the rest of the world for that matter?
Well, I like to joke with my students sometimes that the way to solve the world's health crises is simply to solve poverty, warfare, famine, and social disenfranchisement.
That's all.
So the root drivers of disease are pretty much the same as the root drivers of the other grand challenges that we face. And I think Alhaji's efforts on the ground have been absolutely emblematic of the sorts of things that need to be done. This one health, global health approach that is, I hope, going to be ingrained in our thought processes from now on. But I think the test is going to be, how sustained will this effort be? Mm-hmm. When you talk about building capacity, yes, one aspect of that is going in and building a hospital or building a clinic or flying in teams of doctors. But really, the capacity that needs to be built is long-term structural capacity that involves not only buildings, but also people who are trained and who are empowered to deal with these problems. So if we go in, respond to this crisis, build a few hospitals and leave, then we will have lost an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the immediate crisis, unfortunately, those local doctors, that local capacity isn't there. Alhaji, you've written that the World Health Organization, this was earlier in the crisis, mm-hmm. had a hard time building trust in West African countries. What went wrong, and do you think that has started to change?
Yeah, it's starting to change now, and I think this is one of the issues with the interventions and it's also one of the historical issues of the educational systems in West Africa and probably all of Africa, where there is a disconnect between the indigenous rural areas. You know, this outbreak, the epicenter is in the villages, it's in the rural places, where people do not make the connections between some of our strong biomedical protocols of intervention. So when we come in with some of, you know, like people dressed in space suits and descend into a village, start quarantining people, I mean, even if I was here in Madison, I just suddenly see people in white gowns coming from nowhere and they look strange and people started getting afraid. And, you know, there is nowhere where locally people have been engaged in a way that they will understand it. So first of all, these societies are multi-generational societies. So some of the older generations are not, educated in Western education. So you basically, how do you define to them, or maybe seek their knowledge base and say, what is Ebola to them? And so they can use that way to intervene.
Tony, we've talked on an unrelated issue in the past about the importance of recruiting the people, empowering them in a way to help implement these kind of health measures. Again, is that a trend that is catching on in the public health and epidemiology community?
I think that is catching on in the public health and epidemiology community. There is a growing recognition that true capacity, sustained capacity, must involve people who are trained and can work as part of big teams. One thing that I don't think is as well ingrained but should be is the fact that we can also learn from people. So rather than seeing ourselves as the deliverers of knowledge from on high to local people with no knowledge, there's actually a lot of knowledge about these diseases on the ground. Mm-hmm. And if we would do a better job of listening and incorporating people's fundamental cultural beliefs into our response plans, they might be more effective.
All right. So much more we could talk about, and I know you will at the forum tonight. Tony, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Alhaji, thanks to you.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking to Tony Goldberg and Alhaji Njai. They are both panelists at a UW-Madison forum. It's called Ebola in Context. That's tonight at 7 at the UW-Madison Memorial Union.